Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everyone. This is the Chaos. This is Chaos Talk Radio with the D&K Bible Break. We just want to thank everyone for tuning in this evening. First and foremost, want to give honor and thanks to the Lord that's the head of my life. Also, want to thank the Lord for my co-host, my lovely wife, Miss K. Are you there?
I am here. Good evening.
Good evening, and we just want to thank everyone for joining us. We want to thank everyone for joining us on this Monday evening. Hopefully you had a blessed weekend and you had a blessed start to your week. And we just want to thank you for joining us here on D&K Bible Break. Also, we want to give thanks to the Lord that's the head of our lives. We want to thank him for waking us up, giving us the activity of our limbs, and just for being the head of our lives. And with that being said, happy Monday to everyone from D&K, to everyone that's listening all over. We're also live in London. I know it's late there. We're also live in Germany. I know it's even later there. And in Nassau, we have an audience over there as well. We just want to say thank you, and God bless you all. Also, before we move on, there's a couple announcements. You know, we're on D&K every Monday at 7. We are doing a D&K, not D&K, I'm sorry, a Chaos Cruise. And for somehow it got mistaken as a Chaos Couples Cruise. Well, I don't care who comes on the cruise as long as you show up, or if you want to come in and hang with us when we go to Nassau, August 27th to the 30th. I'm going to give you my email. Apparently, a group of people tagged along with us that we're not trying to associate with. I don't even know how to explain it. But if you want to go on a cruise, just get in contact with me, and I'll set you in the right direction. You can just email me at chaostalk32@yahoo.com. And I'll send all the information to you. That's chaostalk32@yahoo.com. And we'll get you straight on the cruise. Other than that, we're going to move on with our normal weekly and schedule that we have. Every Monday at 7 p.m., you have D&K Bible Break. Tuesday is Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. Bishop Omar Zachary and First Lady Pamela Zachary is our leader, Bishop, and the team of elders and evangelists and deacons that does the Bible study every Tuesday at 7 p.m., same phone number, same website. Also, on Thursday is Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministry. They'll be live. If you want to get your midweek praise on Thursdays at 7 p.m. as well, and you can watch that on Facebook Live. At Praise Tabernacle Church, Lawrenceville, or you can just call the same phone number, 845-277-9094, to listen to the praise and worship of Bishop Omar, Zachary, and family. And then again on Sundays at 9 a.m., we go live every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. So with that being said, also we have other programs that we have on. It's just too many for me to be listing, but those are our spiritual from Praise Tabernacle and Chaos Talks who we partner with. Those are our weekly schedule as normal. And with that being said, I'm going to ask Ms. Kay, anything that you want to say before we get started?
I just want to comment on that song that you just played. I love that song. And if I can just give the lyrics of what he said. He said, "You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life, so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know." We should be telling everybody about the love of Christ, because look what he did for us when we were nothing. He thought the most of us by sacrificing his life. So I'm just so grateful to God for his grace and his mercy every day, because life is too short. Don't want to take anything for granted. Don't want to take anyone for granted. So we need to just give God all the praise and all the glory for who he is and everything that he's done for us thus far. If he doesn't do anything else for us, I used to hear this, the old people say this back in the day, he's already done enough. And I am like, I can understand that now. So I'm just truly grateful to be called one of his children. That's what
Amen.
I want to say.
Okay. Well, before we go on in the show, I'm going to give you a reason why I played that song. But I want to send I just want everyone to know, and I'm going to let my wife take this. I know you're not prepared, but hopefully you can give the information, the little information that you have. But our hearts go out to Desi's family.
Yes, Desiree Logan.
Yeah, who passed away yesterday unexpectedly. Very unexpectedly, and we just seen her a few weeks ago, and you know, she seemed fine, but you know, you never know. You just gotta be ready. You just have to be ready. So we just want the family to know from D&K Bible Break, our hearts are with you. We're praying for you at this difficult time. Mm-hmm. You know her last name?
Logan, Desiree Logan. Her last name is Logan.
Desiree Logan. I'm sorry, Desiree. I'm bad with names. Desiree Logan. And for all those that listen that may know her, just keep her family lifted up in prayer. Because like I said, this was all of a sudden thing that happened yesterday. As soon as we got home from church, my wife ran to the emergency, and within 20 minutes later, she was gone. So let's just keep her family in prayer as well. And with
Amen.
That being said, we're going to go ahead and get started with the show tonight. And tonight we got a special guest coming on my show. His testimony and just a little bit that I've heard last week really blessed me. It really touched me it just touched me in a way to see someone on fire for the Lord when it could be totally the opposite. It could be going totally the opposite direction. And I just want to thank him, Mr. Reed, for joining us tonight. Thank him because he's going to tell you your story. So for the listeners, we have Mr. Reed on, and I'm going to let him introduce himself because I don't want to mess up none of the information or anything like that. I will tell you this. He has a dynamic testimony, and from what I've heard, he turned his life, I'm not going to say 360, I'm going to say 180, because when you do a 360, you right back where you started from. So I'm going to say 180 turnaround. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Reed is on live with us. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
How are you? I'm blessed. I am blessed, and we're blessed to have you part of the D&K Bible Break. And we just want to say good evening. And, you know, just for the listeners, so everyone can get a full, I just want you to state your name and where you're calling from. And then from there, I want you to give a little bit about your testimony, if you don't mind.
Just a little bit, or you want the whole thing?
The whole thing. Just give me the whole thing.
Okay. So my name is Ramon Reed. I'm 51 years old. I'm in Alliance, Ohio. It's a little small suburb of Canton, Ohio, home of the National Football Hall of Fame. And I just got out of prison about 2 weeks ago. Actually, it'd be 2 weeks tomorrow. I just did 23 years. And I'm ready to give my testimony. So let me tell you how it all started. Not really well. So I got out of the – I went to the federal prison system in 2000. And I knew that I was going to do a long stretch. So I decided that I needed to change my life. So what I wanted to do was I knew that if I continued down the path that I continued, that I was going to continue making the same mistakes. So I decided to change myself. And I changed the way I thought and the way I behaved and the way I responded to conflict. But I never really thought much about my soul. It was like more mental and cognitive behavioral thinking that I wanted to get a hold of. So when I got released from the feds, I got released to state custody because when I caught the federal case, I was on state parole. And the state was like, no, you got to come answer us for catching that fed case. I was like, okay. But I thought that at the most that it would give me a couple months. And, I had all of these glowing letters from my case managers and my counselors and my psychologists even wrote letters. And I had like a program that I was getting ready to go to and sponsored by T.D. Jakes. And I was like ready to get released. I wanted to be productive. And I had all of these certificates and all of this stuff that I had done, all these changes that I made. I even wrote a letter to the parole board. So when I went to the parole board, I was expecting to get at the most like 9 months. That was the maximum that I was told that I could get. But they didn't even care about anything I had to say. They didn't care about certificates. And they maxed me out, gave me about 6.5 years. So I was crushed. And I didn't know what to do. And I was just crushed. I didn't know what else to do. I did everything that I thought I was supposed to do. So a couple COs, or that's correctional officers, I was a janitor. I was basically a porter, which is basically a janitor for the COs. And we was cool, and they all knew me, and they saw that I was hurt when I came back, man. And one CO in particular, he came over and he talked to me, and he was telling me, he said, you know, you can get out of prison anytime you want to. So I was like, what, dude? You like, man, if you don't get away from me. And he was like, I'm serious, man. You can get out of, you know, Jesus can get you out of prison anytime you want to. And I was like, man, all right, whatever. And so I blew away from him. And as the weeks went by, he just kept talking to me about Christ and the Bible. And I've read like thousands of books, and I've studied multiple religions. And I was like, none of them really appealed to me because I didn't want to have to submit to nothing. You know, I like being in control. So I had read like all these facts that I would hit him with, and he would hit me with these biblical truths, and I'd go back to my cell. I'd think about something else to say to him and be like, what about this? He'd counter it with some biblical facts. And we went through this back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So one day, the subject of prayer came up and the power of Jesus. I was like, dude, I'm not praying in the name of no dude, man. I ain't going to pray in the name of Jesus. And he said, you ain't going to never be praying in the name of Jesus as long as you got that demon in you. I was like, demon? Dude, I don't even believe in demons. I ain't got no demon in me, man. You tripping. He was like, yeah, okay. So a couple weeks went by, and I ended up getting moved to a different block. And the CO that worked this block happens to be a Christian also. And the cell that they moved me in happens to be a Christian also. So they're telling me all this Christian stuff about Jesus, this, this, that. And the CO that originally started talking to me and this new CO were friends. And they were tag team me back and forth. So one day and gave me this book. It's called Divine Revelations of Hell by Barry K. Baxter. And it's talking about this woman who's she's like a lawyer or a doctor or something. She's some professional that Jesus came and got for 40 nights and took her to hell and told her that she needed to document this, to write it down, man, and give her testimony about what had happened and about hell being real. And it was a scary book, you know. I mean, I believe in God. I got to read my own personal relationship with God at the time, and I was like, yeah, this is, you know, if I need something, I'll pray. If I'm scared, I'll pray, or, you know, just I got a relationship, you know, I guess that's what you call it. So, but I'm not praying in the name of Jesus. So I read this book, and it kind of spooks me, you know. It's these demons and how the souls were tormented, and I was laying in the cell, and it was about 11 o'clock at night. Nobody was up. It was dark in the cell. My cellie was asleep. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to pray in Jesus' name. So I closed my eyes, and I was like, in the name of, and I was like, what? In the name of, I was like, wait a minute. And for about 15, 20 minutes, I tried to say Jesus' name. I couldn't get it out of my mouth. And I'm serious. Like, when I tell you I couldn't get it out, I couldn't say his name at all. And I was like, what the heck? And then all of a sudden I hear this big old thump in the middle of the cell. And I was like, what the heck? My cellie's dead asleep. It ain't the CEO. It's like, it's in the cell with me. And I was like, oh, nah, that's too much. I'm gone. I'm good. You know, so I went to sleep. I was like, I'm just going to sleep. So the next morning I woke up and I told the CEO what had happened. And he called the other CEO, and he said, send him down here to me. So he sent me down there, and I go down there, and he's like, I told you that you was not going to be able to pray in the name of Jesus. And I'm like, dude, I don't understand that. That's crazy. And I'm explaining it to him, and he was like, I'm telling you, you got these demons in you, man, this demon. He said, the Holy Spirit has told me to talk to you. He's been telling me, I've been praying for you since I met you. This is why I've been talking to you, man. You need to be saved. And I was like, dude, I ain't trying to be like a Christian. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, dude, in prison, that's like one of the worst groups, man, because they hypocrites. And at least the ones that I know, you know, I was on the outside looking in, and I always thought they was all hypocrites. And I was like, I'm not trying to be one of those dudes that came to prison and get all religious and be Bible thumping and all that. That's not me, man. I'm not on that. You know, I'm cool. And he was like, I'm telling you, man, you just need to give your life to Christ, man. And he was like, look at you, man. You was walking around here lost when the parole board gave you that time. You angry, you know. He was like, man, don't you want to get rid of that? And I was like, man. He said, what's the worst that could happen? And I was like, what? He's like, what's the worst that could happen? He said, you get saved. And so he's talking to me, and we're going back and forth, and I'm like, man, I got my head down on the desk, and I don't know. I'm like, man, I've everything that I've tried, man, led me right here talking to you, man. So why not? You know what I'm saying? Come on. So he immediately jumps in, and he puts his hand on my forehead, and he starts praying, and he's like, you know, this and that. And I'm like, what the heck is going on, man? Like, you know what I'm saying? And he's just praying, and I'm like, okay. And so while he's praying, I got my eyes closed, and I'm starting to get mad at him. I'm like, why am I getting mad at this guy? Like, I'm like literally getting angry at him, and I have this vision of jumping across the table and choking him down and punching his face until it's a pulp. This is a clear vision in my mind, like, do this. And I'm like, what? So I look at him, and I'm like, why am I angry at you? He was like, it ain't you. It's that demon. And he's like, I cast you out, demon. I cast you out. In the name of Jesus, I cast you out. And he's like, repeat after me. And he was like, Lord, I am a sinner. I need to be saved. You know, and we go through the sinner's prayer. And as he's saying this prayer, I feel like all of these negative emotions, like anger, fear, jealousy, resentment, bitterness, pain, just and they're all just, it's like in a black cloud, and they're just squeezing me tighter and tighter into a smaller ball. And I'm trying to fight it. I'm holding, like, I'm just, but it's crushing me. It's like I literally felt like God had me in his hands, and he was just crushing me into a little ball. And I couldn't, as strong as I am, I just couldn't handle it. I couldn't resist it. I couldn't push back because it was too much. And I just finally said, I give up. Okay, I give up. And immediately, I tell you immediately, I had joy, I had peace, and I had love. And it was like I had tears streaming down my face, and I was laughing, and I was like, what just happened? You know, like, what just happened? Like, I feel good, I feel happy, I feel peaceful. I'm like, I feel love, you know? I'm like, and he's like, hey, brother, listen. He said, I'm happy for you, I love you, definitely, but it's count time, you got to go. I'm like, what? So I leave out, I'm like, and it's literally like, you know, when they say this, like the scales fall off your eyes and you see for the first time. When I walked out that door, I saw the bluest sky with the most white, fluffiest clouds, the birds and grass and trees and the soft breeze. And I could just take in all of God's wondrous creations, and I could see them for what they were. And I was just like, it was like amazing. And I was walking to the block, man, and this song, Amazing Grace, popped in my head. And I was like, whoa. And then so as I, like, the CO is waiting for me to come back because it's count time. So I get to the block, and I'm like, he looks at me, and he was like, oh, you got saved. And I'm like, what? He's like, dude, you're glowing. And I'm like, what? And so I go to the cell, and my cellie sees me. He's like, oh. He was like, dude, you got saved, didn't you? And I was like, what the heck's going on? He was like, dude, you're glowing. Like, I can see it all over you. And so I was like, I was just tripping, and I couldn't really understand what was going on because I was just happy. That's all I know. I was happy. And so I call my mom after count clears. I call my mom, and I say, Mom, you'll never guess what happened to me. And she was like, what? And I tell her, I got saved. And she was like, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. That's an answered prayer. She was like, baby, I'm so happy for you. And I was like, what? I'm like, so the CO calls me, and he was like, hey, Reed, they want you back down at, you know, Williams wants you back down at the block. So I go back down to the block, and I'm bouncing. Like, I'm, you know, that commercial when they was talking about, are you gelling? You know, the gels. I was like, yeah, gelling. Like, I was feeling good. I was feeling real good. And so he comes and I get to the block and I go in and I'm like, what's up, man? And he was like, hey, he was like, listen, the Holy Spirit told me that I need to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And I was like, what? He said, you need to be baptized in fire. And I was like, what? I don't understand. And he was like, come on. So he takes me back in the room, sit down, puts his hand on my chest, and he starts praying. And he was like, I want you to say thank you. I want you to thank the Lord for blessing you, for saving you, for redeeming your soul. And I was like, okay, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And he was like, thank you. He said, no, don't say thank you. Say hallelujah. And I was like, huh? And he was like, hallelujah is the highest praise that you can give to the Lord. So say hallelujah. Let him know that you mean that you're thankful for how you feel right now. So I'm saying hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And he lays his hands on my chest, and he starts praying again, and then he starts speaking a funny language. I'm like, what the? You know, I'm saying hallelujah, but I'm listening to what he's like. When did he start speaking this? I didn't know he could speak another language. But I'm not understanding what he's saying, but something in me started burning. Like, I got hot. Like, I, like, really got hot, and I was like, sweating, like hot, like it was a burning, like hot. I can't explain it. It was hot, and Jeez. And he was praying, and he was, and I was like, you know, I was trying to say hallelujah, and I got the stuttering over the word hallelujah, and I'm very well spoken, and I couldn't say this word, and I'm like, oh, and he was like, stop fighting it, let it go, just let it go, and I'm like, what? And he was like, don't think about it. Just pray. Just give praise to God. And the next thing you know, I'm praying in tongues. And I'm like, I don't even realize what I'm doing. I don't know what's coming out of my mouth, but I know what my soul is saying. And I'm giving praise to God. And it's I can't understand it. I just don't understand it. And I just prayed, and I was just praying, and I was just praying and praying and praying. And the next thing you know, I hear these keys in the radio, and I snap my eyes open, and I see the CO that was with me. He jumps up, and he's trying to tell his partner, no, no, no. But it was too late. I had already, like, I was already out of the trance, and I looked around, and 20 minutes had passed. And I was like, oh, my God. I was like, dude, this is too much. I can't handle this. And I took off. I was like, I can't deal with this, man. I don't know what just happened. And it's just, ever since then, you can't tell me that Jesus is not real. You can't tell me that the Holy Spirit is not real. You can't tell me that the gifts of the Spirit are not active and real today and working right now. And you cannot tell me that God don't move in your life if you obey his commandments. Because I've been walking his path, and he's been blessing me ever since. I'm talking like ever since that day. If I even think I might want something, he lays it at my feet. He released me from prison 2.5 months early. When I got out of prison, I got a car, I got insurance, I got license, I had this YouTube channel that I just decided, God gave me this inspiration. He said, I want you to document, like he told Mary Kay Baxter, I want you to document your life, your history, how I changed your life. So when we played that song, he thought I was worth saving, because if he can save a wretch like me, and he can make me see, right, and he can just change my life and clean me up, you know what I'm saying, and he died for me, hallelujah.
Thank you.
I'm telling you, nobody can tell me nothing. Nobody can tell me nothing, man. I love the Lord. He's been good to me, and he's been good to my family. I came out. My family's been restored. It's just, I mean, like every prayer, every blessing, I just can't tell you enough. I can't thank you enough. I can't.
That's amazing. That is amazing. I just got to get in to ask you some questions, but that is, I can let you keep on going for the rest of the show, but I got to ask a couple questions. How long ago was that you made that confession?
June 20th at about 10 o'clock in the morning. I know that 2015. I know the date exactly. My birth date, my real birth date, is coming up. Two more Sundays. Not next Sunday, but the following Sunday is my birth date. Is my rebirth date.
Okay. Okay. That was awesome. My next question is, so you just been out for 2 weeks?
Yes, ma'am.
You're fine. You're fine. For 2 weeks. Now, I used to be a correctional officer, and I just got to ask the question, because I know a lot of people, when they get in jail and they get out, they always have the mind frame, I'm going to do right, I'm going to let the Lord lead me. And then after 2 weeks of being out, because it's hard, especially when you're coming out of prison, for people to adapt. And then most people go and fall back on what got them in there, because you really don't. You get treated like a second class citizen when people find out you just got out of prison, especially
if you're violent. If it's a violent offense.
Yeah.
If you're doing long term and violent.
Yeah, I'm long term. It ain't even got to be violent. This long, because when you think long term, what have you done? People just. I know how people.
Right.
So
they thinking, what did I do to go to prison?
Yeah, right, especially for 23 years.
Yes.
And that's the total time you spent in prison, am I correct, or the 30 years?
No, the total is 31 years.
31 years, and you're 51. And
51,
that's over half your life you've been in prison. And what catches me is my brother told me about you, and my brother, he's not gonna, you know, if my brother say, you know, talk to this brother because he's real, I normally 10 out of 10 times my brother is right, my older brother. So right. When I heard you and I listened to your testimony, it's like, wow, I got to have you on the show. I didn't know, you know, we talked that one time, and there's something about your spirit that just makes me feel like you're different. You're not like everybody else. Because I've heard people in prison before, and they always have the same, I'm going to serve Jesus, boom, and then as soon as conflict hit them, they go back to what they're used to doing. I'm not saying that with you, but with you, there's something different about your vibe. There's something different when I hear you talk. It's like you are full of Christ. You can hear it in your voice. You can hear it in your talk. So I just want to, I guess the question I want to ask you is, now that you're out and you're free, what are your goals from here on in? The Lord didn't release you. You didn't found him. What are you planning on doing going forward?
So my what I've been doing is I've been documenting my reentry to society, and it's twofold. I have two reasons why I'm doing it. First and foremost is if I can reach someone and save one soul and bring them to Christ, then I did my job. You know, that's all I want to do we are called to be disciples. We are called to profess the word and spread the good news. And that's what I'm doing. I'm telling you what God did for me. I can't tell you how to do your life, but I can tell you just what he did for me. You know, and if he can change me, like, trust me, if he can change me and give me that peace and give me that love, man, he can change your life. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to try to save some soul, one soul. And if I save more, the more better. But the second part is, I know, like you said, these guys that are coming out of prison, especially doing long stints in prison, they don't really know how to navigate. And so I figured if I show them how to succeed, right, if I show them, leave a path and show them how I faced these obstacles and I overcame, because we are more than overcomers. God says we are more than conquerors. And so he didn't give me a spirit of fear. He told me that I can do anything. You know what I'm saying? So I know that when I come up to these obstacles, because I'm struggling now. I can't get a job, you know, and people are telling me, well, we'll call you back, and I ain't heard back from them again. And, you know, it's okay. It's okay because God's got me, and his time is when he going to move when it's time for me to move. You know, so I just want to leave a trail for others to follow, man, and so we can have a documentation and a trail. That's what I'm saying. I just want to leave a trail for others to follow on how to succeed, man. That's what I want to do. And my ultimate goal is to own my own restaurant. That's, you know, so in August, I'm going to culinary art school. I'm just trying to find employment for the next 60 days because I start in August and going to culinary art school. And God bless my mother and my dad, man. They said, look, you know, we know that it's going to be tough for you, but we'll hold you down till you go to school if we need to. And so, you know, they just been a blessing. And the other thing that I stress is, like, for guys getting out of prison, man, you got to have a support system. You know, you need to have a strong support system. And I'm talking about, don't be prideful and quit not wanting to ask for help. And if you're having problems, tell somebody. You know, tell somebody. Reach out to somebody. Ask for help. So that's what I did. And it's been great, man. Like, God's been blessing me at every step, man. Look where I'm at now. I'm on the radio. Like, what? I'm shocked, man. So,
no, you know, don't be shocked, because with Christ, all things are possible. So don't be shocked by what's getting ready to happen. I just want to encourage you, keep doing what you're doing. And then when things do get tough, because they're going to get tough, you just got to, you know, you already know what you have to do. And just lean on Jesus, because he'll take you and ride you over. And I'm just amazed. Kay, do you have any questions you want to ask him?
So I just got, like, a couple of comments. The one comment that I got, when you initially, when your COs were talking to you, and I think you said a fellow inmate was talking to you, and you were saying that, you know, you believe in God, and most people do believe in God. And the beautiful thing about your journey, though, is not only you believe in God, but you turned over your life to Christ. And that's the missing piece that a lot of people have. They think they're good. Everything is okay. I believe in God, and I know how to pray. But in the name of Jesus, that's the name that you need to be calling on. And because you got to that point, I love it. I love it. And it was like when you said you couldn't even say the name of Jesus, that's like, I know that, you know, I've never experienced it myself, but just to hear you say that and then the CEO telling you about, you know, being under a demonic, you know, spirit, it's like, wow, it's so many people out here are, they're in that same situation, but they think they're on the right path. But it, just like your COs were there for you and people were there sent by the Lord, my prayer is that you continue to do the work that you're doing, minister to the people that God puts in your path, and you have an awesome testimony. And another thing I wanted to say is when you were talking to your CO and you said it felt like you were like balled up and you were being pounded on and pounded on, there's a scripture that came to mind, Isaiah 64:8. It says, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art potter, and we all are the work of thy hand." The Lord was molding you and rebuilding you, and I love it. So you have an awesome testimony. So I praise God for the journey. Everything that you went through, there was a purpose. You may not have understood the purpose, but there was a purpose. And now what you're going to do is just carry on and be that light to everyone else in your path for Christ. So I commend you on what you're doing. And my prayer is that you go hard for the Lord and do all that you can. I'm happy to meet you.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. My brother said he knew you back in the day, back in the back in the day. Yeah, listening to you talk, and now I can't even. And he told me you was. I don't want to use. He said you was one of them hardcore people. You was a thug. You was
I was that guy.
And to hear you talk now, and to hear him explain you when you were your younger person, it blows my mind. And then to hear the transformation as when 2015, when you accepted Christ, and now that you're out, and like I said, I can talk about this all day. And for people out there that are struggling, and I try to tell people, you got to have the support system in order for it to work. Because I'm quite sure, like you were saying, that, you know, you're having a hard time finding a job, and you're just trying to wait till you go to culinary school. So between now and culinary school, you know the enemy is really going to be attacking you to do something crazy.
So
I'm just
I know this. Let me say this. I just want to say this. So when I get hang up with here, I'm going to the prayer closet, because when you pour out like I just pour out, the enemy is going to be looking to attack, because I just gave him a black eye. He don't like that. So he's going to be on me. And I'm going to have my mama come pray with me. And she gonna light her incense, and I'm going to ask her to just pray with me, bless me. You know, just I'm ready. We're ready for this.
Amen. That is good.
Okay, now you also told me, I put in my notes, you also told me that Sunday, this past Sunday, was your first time in church.
Yep.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
So it's my uncle's church. It's my dad's brother. So I call him my dad because he was been around since I was 12 years old, and him and my mom are in love. And he's always been good to my mom, so I call him my dad. But his brother, Nick Holly, has a church. And I forget the name of the church. Forgive me, Nick. I'm sorry. But we went there, and actually it was the first time that my mom and my dad, it was the first time that all of us went. And they had a wonderful praise team. They had a good message. It was receptive. You know, the Holy Spirit is definitely flowing in the church. And I was all right. I was cool. I liked it. You know, I liked it. I was all right, man. God was there. He touched me. I gave a small testimony, just a short, real brief real brief, like not even close to what that is. And I just told him if you really want to hear it, to tune in tonight, you know.
They're tuning in tonight, Doc. They definitely are tuning in. And a lot of people kind of tuned in late, and I'm getting emails and stuff wanting to hear the testimony over again. But, you know, I'm not going to have you repeat the testimony. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have you come back again, and I'm going to try to put you on a platform where you can talk to young men, because it's very important, that especially all men, but not just all men, but especially young black men,
young
hear
men.
Your story.
Yes, men of color.
Because,
absolutely.
You know,
I believe that.
You spent 31 years in prison, and you 51. You spent over half, I don't know the percentage, you spent 30, you know, in prison. And
that's
I just 60%. Want you to talk to, I just want yeah. yeah. I want you just to tell, in case I do have some young listeners, what were some of the things that got you in prison? What were you doing? And I'm not doing this,
so
it doesn't matter, but a lot of people want to hear so they can see where you are now. So I don't want to focus on the bad stuff, but sometimes for people to understand that they got to see the whole picture. So I don't want people thinking I'm trying to get you to talk about everything that you did. Just give us some of the things that you were doing to cause you to get to go to prison. I know you already shared some of it with me, but it's better coming from you than coming from me. So, yeah, if you don't mind.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just making bad decisions, you know, being in the wrong crowds. Started drinking at a young age, started smoking, you know, smoking weed at a young age, and just being in the streets, man, not trying. And, like, I could have went – I was supposed to go to college, and I chose not to. I wanted to go to the service. But, you know, once you get that felony, you know, I shot a guy in self-defense, and I took a plea bargain. And that's how I got put on probation. That's how I got caught in the system in the first place. And when I went to prison and got that number and came back out, I became a second-class citizen. And I didn't realize that I couldn't get a job. You know, I couldn't vote no more, because this is back in 1988, 89. And I'm in a little small town. I couldn't get a job. So crack hit. I decided, oh, I'm going to sell me some crack. You know, give me some money. It just went downhill from there, man. I just hanging with the wrong guys, making bad decisions. And, you know, I found myself on the run from the police from an incident and I ended up in Texas. It was broke and didn't have any money, was hungry, didn't have a place to stay. I had this girl with me that was crying in my ear, and I decided I was going to go rob a bank. And I went in with a note, gave to tell her a note, and she gave me the money, and I left. Then when I was counting the money in the hotel room, I found the tracking device. And by the time I realized what was up, the police was there. And so when they arrested me, they asked me if I had a gun on me when I was in the hotel room, when they caught me. And they asked me if I had a gun on me when I went into the bank. And I said, yeah. And they charged me with an armed bank robbery. That's how I got. So, like, you know, because they said that I knowingly knew that the gun was on me when I went into the bank. So that made it armed bank robbery. And I
even
was like, are you serious?
Like,
even though I didn't use it, I just had the fact. And so when the police tell you anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law, they mean that, because they asked me that question and I told them, yeah, I had the gun on me. You know, I said, I didn't use it, though. They was like, oh, but you knew you had it on you, right? And I was like, yeah. So they charged me. I actually got a separate charge. I got 7 years for the gun alone.
Wow.
So, you know, it was crazy.
And I don't mean to interrupt you, but see, that's what young people need to understand, because they think it's like a movie. You know, they don't understand that every little thing that you did, just by carrying a gun, even though you didn't have it out, but you got charges if you waved it around and was threatening people with it. And when you say choices, that's why I'm saying a lot of young people think they know everything. That's why it's important for when you talk, you know, I want them to hear the whole story so they understand. That was 7 years just for having a gun in your possession.
Yeah.
And
just
all you did was
gun. And that was and that was on top of the sentence that they gave me. Like, I had to serve the 7 years first and then start my bank robbery sentence, my armed bank robbery sentence.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Well, and that's the difference. And I don't want to turn into a black or white situation, But I've seen people that have been Caucasian rob a bank and only do with a gun and only do so many years. But, I mean, it's like they just, they just, I guess the phrase I want to use, they just rape you with all of this stuff and charge you to the max, to the max.
Yeah,
so when you say choices, I want people to understand, especially the young people and black young men, when you do something, you hopefully you thinking about the consequences, because for everything you do, every choice you make, there is a consequence, and it may be,
yes,
it may cost you, like it cost Mr. Reed 31 years of his life just by some of the choices he's made.
There's a statement. Let me put a statement, if you don't mind. Sorry for interrupting. I just want to put a statement to add to that. So to put it in the biblical sense, there's a saying that I heard. It says, sin will take you farther than you really want to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and that's what happened. Sin took me farther than I really wanted to go. I thought that I knew what was going to happen. I didn't expect, you know, it just turned into that. And so, yeah, you got to be careful about your choices.
Wow. That, to me, like I said, your whole story, I can keep talking about it. But moving forward, you know, you accepted Christ. You're living for the Lord.
Sir.
You're running for the Lord. And I'm going to ask, it's a simple question. And I guess you kind of touched that on in your testimony when you were saying how the CO was telling you about Jesus and you had a demon in you and all of that. I just for the people, because I thought that was very key when you said it, I just want you to repeat that again for me. When the correctional officer was talking about, because that to me,
well,
that's
so
powerful.
The whole thing started because we was talking about prayer. Because I was like, I pray to God, and he was like, you pray through what you pray in Jesus' name? I was like, no, I don't need no mediator. Because I pray to God. I don't need nobody to go in between. That was the problem with religions to me, is that you always had to have a mediator. You know, like, how come I can't just talk directly to God? So
right.
he was like, man, he said, you couldn't pray in the name of Jesus anyways. And I was like, man, I'm not, because I started off with saying that I'm not praying in the name of Jesus. And he was like, you couldn't do it anyways. So I was like, what you talking about? And he was like, man, he said, a demon in you ain't going to let you pray. I was like, dude, you out of your mind, man. First of all, I don't believe in demons. You know? Second of all, I definitely ain't got one in me, even if they were existence. So, I believe in angels and demons now. that was the trip, man. That was that whole thing. And it spooked me, like I said, that book. It was a common, you know, there was a question that the CEO asked. The one CEO, not the one that led to Christ, but the other one. After I got saved, and we was talking about it a few days later, he said, okay, now that you're saved, do you regret not doing it early? I was like, ooh, that's a good question. Because I had to think about it, right? Because it was such a great feeling, and I still feel that same feeling. But I think that I said, you know what, man, if I'm honest, I'm going to say no, I don't regret it. Because if I hadn't went through what I went through, I don't think I would appreciate where I'm at now. So, you got to go through those trials and tribulations, man. And, you know, that's why, you know, there's one of my favorite Bible verses is count it, brothers and sisters, count it all joy when you go through various trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
You know, because it builds
it's
character,
James,
man. It builds faith.
Yeah.
Yes. So
wow.
That thing that you were saying, I pulled it up here. It says, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay.
Yep,
so,
that's it. That is absolutely it.
Yeah, sin. So, again, there's a lot of reasons, not a lot, there's a few reasons I wanted to have you on the show, is to let other people see through your testimony and through your mistakes that they don't make the same mistakes. And also, if anyone that has any spiritual sense can see the work the Lord is going to do in your life moving forward. If you just stay on the straight and narrow, there ain't no telling how far the Lord is going to lead you. even with your past. And I'm say this on the radio, and I'm not a prophet. I don't plan on being a prophet, but I'm glad you was on my show first. So when I can say I know him, I was the first one when he got out to see where the Lord lends you up in the next year or 2 years, because that's an awesome testimony. And everyone ought to be trying to get to you to talk to you, because we learn from our mistakes. And in order for the next generation, they're going to be looking to you to say, this is what you don't want to do because of this. And you've already went through it. So because I'm getting all, I'm about ready to preach, and I ain't got the energy to preach right now, but I feel it brewing. What was I going to say? How can they get it? If they want to, you say you had a YouTube page. I want to make sure that you put that out there as well.
All right. So I got a YouTube channel. I post on it every day. I post a video every day. It's called Modern Day Caveman. It's all one word, Modern Day Caveman. And, That's where I'm at, man. I'm on there every night. I record every night. I post a video every single night. So as what is it? It's been like 15 days since I've been out, maybe 14, 13 days. And I sometimes put a couple videos on there, but I always post and I reflect on my day. And you can reach me there. I'm on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. My Facebook page is Ramon J. Reed. But I mostly focus on that YouTube channel, just giving some people visuals, and you know, the audio and the visuals, so they can see what's going on.
Okay. Now one more question, and one of my engineers wanted me to ask the question, and I didn't lost it already. Moving forward, you know, into the future, what? I can't find the question. But you gave all your information. If I find it, I'll ask you before I close out. Anything else you want to ask, okay, before we get out of here?
No, I just want to give a shout out to your family. I don't know them personally, but it takes a great community to back you. And I appreciate everybody in your family that's backing you, because everybody deserves an opportunity to make a difference. And most people, they get out and they don't have anybody to go to, and they end up with the same old crowd, and then they end up doing the same old thing. So to have somebody, to have a circle around you that's pushing you in the right direction, I just want to, you know, give honor to your family as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I found the question.
I found the question.
Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to also give a shout out to, I got some subscribers on YouTube, and I got to give a shout out to my cousin Tara. She's the one that told me to like set up a YouTube channel and put the Cash App on there, because I was struggling at the beginning, and I got some subscribers that donated money to me, and it was just like, you just don't know how you know what I'm saying? I that money just saved me, because I didn't know what to do. I'm truly, truly humbled and thankful for everything and everyone that God's put in my path.
Amen.
Yeah, we want to thank him as well. And I had a question. Now, I don't want to be, but it's an honest question. You've only been out not even 20 days yet. And the question, it's a hard question to ask. How do we know? And I'm going to give you a chance, and then we're going to have to get out of here. How do we know you just ain't telling us this because you're in a moment? How do we know it's not a lifestyle? How do we – if for someone, not saying me, but if someone was to doubt it, like, oh, that's that prison talk. You know, when they come out of prison, everybody's safe when they come out of prison. Everybody want to be a preacher. Everybody want to do this, and everybody want to do that. So – the question is, how do we know what's different from you than those people that come out saying it? What's the difference?
The difference is, I don't just talk the talk, I walk the walk. You know, I walk the talk. That's what I do. You see it in my actions, man. I don't have to say anything, because one of my pastors told me that I might be the only Bible that somebody reads. So I let my lifestyle reflect my actions, my words. You hear I don't cuss. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't get high. I'm not fornicating with no woman. You know, you just watch my actions. Listen, just watch me. You know, I ain't got to say nothing. If you don't believe me, just watch me.
Okay. All right.
Amen.
There
you go.
You answered that question. All right. But I do understand, as I mean, being a correctional officer, I do understand the question. But at the
same
time,
I'm not mad at it at all.
So with that being said, because, you know, we just want to let people know, you know, that, and I'm going to put, because my brother, and, you know, I'm going to send my brother a shout out, Rico. Y'all know him as Rico.
Yeah, what's up, Rico?
I call him Ricky. That's what his mama called him, so that's what I call him. But y'all
okay.
know him as Rico.
Oh, I'm going to call him Ricky, too. I'm like, what's up, Ricky?
There you go. Now you're going to have us fighting next time I see him. Don't do that. Call him Rico. That's what he's been going
okay.
by. But I want to send him a shout-out. And I was talking about my brother earlier. He's been in school. And he's my brother our whole life. He's still in school right now. He told me he was studying.
Yes, he does.
And just so you know about my brother, because he don't just send me anybody, but my brother got 2 masters and a bachelor's. And I believe he's working on another master's degree because he's still in school. And he plus 50. So he's been in school a long, long time. So with that being said, I just wanted to put his credentials out there. And for anybody in my family that's listening, With those credentials, masters, he got 2 master's degrees, so you know his salary is up there. So if y'all need a loan, go to Mr. Rico.
He's gonna get you.
I'm just talking to my family. You need a loan, go to Mr. Rico, because he got all them degrees. You know, I know he's getting paid something. You know, he know I'm just playing with him. I wish they would ask him for a loan because he will speak in tongues to him. And I'm not talking about the Holy Ghost tongues either. I'm talking about some other. Let me stop playing. But anyway, I just want to thank you for taking the time to come out. And there's going to be another forum, my chaos forum. I'm going to definitely have you come on because I want you to talk to some young black men and some young boys that's in doing their summer camp. I just believe your testimony will hopefully scare them straight and let them know that the choices they make, even though they think that, you know, that the law is real. And the law, if you don't know the law, it ain't no time to learn it when you trying to run from it or you have to face it. Because just like you said, 7 years just for having a gun. And that's beyond before you even did the bank rob charge. So, you know, that 7 years is just gone. But thank the Lord that you found the Lord. Thank the Lord that you're on fire for the Lord. And again, I just want to say props to your family because everyone don't have that. And me and my wife was talking about it today. A lot of young black men, when they get out of prison, they don't have no one to turn to. So they have to turn back to the streets because they don't have a support system. So, again, I just want to thank your family, your mom, your pops, and everyone else. We just want to say thank you, and we're going to try to be a big support for you. So, like I said, I don't want you to forget me when you're doing them other radio shows that's up there. You know, send a brother a little love. Shout out to D&K Bible Break, because I think the Lord is going
to use
even,
you like,
in a remarkable way.
Man, I really – everybody keeps saying, like, dude, you're – like, I don't even know. Somebody says you're viral. I'm like, what the heck's that mean? I don't know what that means. So,
I can see that. I can see you going viral. I can see that. So believe you me, and just like I said, I got my engineer is telling me from, you know, someone from a different country is applauding you for what you're doing. So you're going to have people that's going to encourage you and support you that you don't even know. Just when times get hard, just know there's people that are supporting you that you don't even know. Just keep it moving. Keep going. And everything will be all right. You know, and that's it. And there's a song that's like that. Can't stop, won't stop. That's right.
That won't stop. Can't stop, won't stop.
Right. Exactly. So with that being said, again, I just want to thank you for coming on the show today. I hope my listeners learned some. I hope they was encouraged that there's still people, whether they're a correctional officer, it could be a postman, it could be the person at the grocery store, that's still doing the Lord's work. They're still ministering to
people.
Yeah,
amen.
If it had it not been for the correctional officer, we may not be having this conversation right now. Had it not been for that correctional officer leading him to the Lord. So there are people, and just because they don't go by the name of bishop and elder, don't mean that they're not ministering, having an impact in other people's lives. So for all the elder, you know, you don't have to be an elder to be a disciple. You don't have to be a deacon. You're a disciple just because you did you're God's child.
Because you're a believer.
And because you believe, you never know whose life you may impact. So even for the correctional officers, I just want to say, thank them as well
I give a shout out to all the correctional officers. I'm gonna tell you the truth, man. Prisons are needed. You know what I'm saying? And I met some guys in prison that I'm glad I met in prison because that's where they need to be. But, I give a shout out to all the COs, man, all the COs that touched my life. And, you know, they were all encouraging. And, you know, I got a few COs that even follow me on a YouTube channel, man. And so they encouraged me, man. And so I don't dislike the COs. The system needs help.
Right, exactly. And I'm a former CO, so I know. And I could talk about them COs all day. You do have a few of them that are really good.
Yes, you do.
I'm going to keep my other comments about the rest of them to myself. I got a lawsuit out of it against some people right now, and I don't want to say nothing that's going to mess up my lawsuit. But I just want to thank them because they're all over the place. And I know I keep saying I'm gonna close out, and I am gonna close out. But one of the best church services I ever had was in prison, and I kid you not. I don't, if you ain't never been to prison and been to church in prison, those are one of the most dynamic Sunday after. It's something. That spirit is just there, and a lot of people are more free in prison than they are that's free on the outside. I'm gonna say that one more time. There's a lot more people that's in prison that are free than there's people that's on the outside. And what I mean by free, they're free. And
I was free. I'm telling you, I was free.
I can hear it.
I was free. Like I didn't know nothing about no captivity. I was free.
Amen. And that's what makes me know that you're going to do fine because you was free in there. And even now that you got your freedom out here, you're even more free because the devil don't have no hold on you. You've been freed up from all of that. So I'm glad about that. So I want to thank you again for being on the show, sharing your testimony, and everyone know where they can find you at. And I just want to say thank you. Again, I'm going to have you back again. And again, I'm going to shout out to your parents and your support system. And, you know, we're going to definitely be following you, and we definitely will be in touch with you. And again, I'm going to have you come when I do a Monday show in the daytime, when I'm specifically speaking to the young boys and stuff, I'm going to have you come on. And that's going to be sometime in July. So I'm definitely going to be using you again, Doc. So I appreciate you. And I also want
to
thank...
Tell Rico to call me.
He probably hearing you now. He probably texting me some bad words for talking about the lending money.
The
so
loan.
He'll probably be giving you... Yeah, he's going to probably be calling you, you know, calling me all out my name, but we're going to leave that alone. But that's between brothers, and, you know, we can do that kind of stuff.
It's domestic. Stay out.
There you go. Now he keeps bothering me. I tell him what they really used to call him, and it wasn't Ricky or Richard. But anyway, let me stop. We really do be fighting. For those that's been following us, we want to thank you for joining us tonight. Our weekly schedule. I said it in the beginning. I'll say it now. Tomorrow, Tuesday, same time, 7 p.m. Same online, www.blogtalkradiochaostalkwithderekoliver. You can hear Praise Tabernacle Bible Study at 7 p.m. That's on tomorrow. our Bishop, Bishop Omar Zachary, First Lady Pamela Zachary, is our leaders, and the great elders, ministers, and evangelists that will be teaching on every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on Thursday. To get your Thursday shout on for the weekend, get started, Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministries. Not only could you hear it online or call the phone number, but if you go to their Facebook page, which is Praise Tabernacle Church Lawrenceville, you can catch them on Facebook Live Thursday night, 7 p.m. Also, Sunday morning is Sunday morning praise and worship services with Praise Tabernacle Church, Bishop Omar Zachary, 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. So I'm telling you, if you just focus on that right there, you'll be able to get your word on, and it should keep you until you be able to get to your own church. If you ain't got a church, if you stay with it long enough, you'll be part of our church, and you'll definitely grow, because in the last year, I've grown tremendously. So I want to send a shout-out to my bishop and to all the elders, Praise Tabernacle, and the deacons and evangelists. Thank y'all for supporting D&K Bible Break. We appreciate y'all. We love y'all. And we had such a good time on yesterday's service, and the title was, yes, my engineers want me to say it again, Get the Hell Out. That wasn't it. It was Hell No. It wasn't Get the Hell Out, but Hell No. But Get the Hell Out is part of my next sermon I got coming up in a few months. But, you know, Hell No was the title, and we just were grateful that the Lord was used me and my wife in such a miraculous way. Pray for me. I've been under the weather, but we're going to claim all healing in Jesus' name. Also, keep Desiree Logan family in prayer as she was passed away yesterday. It was a friend of my wife's family. She was like a sister to them when we got home from church. And like I say, you never know. She was in her 50s, and she went home to be with the Lord just that quick. By the time we got the call, my wife got to the emergency room, she was already gone. So keep her family in prayer in Snellsville, Georgia, is where she lived at. So keep that in prayer. Y'all heard the services of the week. I have Chaos has a new Wednesday morning called Vent Break, 8 a.m. If you want to get encouraged on Wednesdays, tune in on Wednesday and Vent Break. It's a new show Chaos is doing, and I'm telling you, just to listen to the young lady give encouraging words in the morning, it'll get you through the rest of the week. It'll get you to where you need to go. So it's something new we're doing on Chaos. We have some other new programs coming out as well. Now, for those, just so I can say this, I'm going to have my wife close, that was going on a cruise. And I'm going to say this just because I just remembered what I preached yesterday. I had we're still going on the cruise, but I had to take the Chaos couple cruise down. And if you want to go on a cruise, just get a hold of me, and I'll show you how to do it, because there's some people that I don't want to associate tagged in under the Chaos cruise, and I had to separate myself from that because I don't want people thinking I support everything. I don't support a lot of stuff. But I'm going on a cruise, I tell you that. But the stuff that they was trying to tag me with, we don't go that way. We don't go that route. And I'm going to be just leave it at that. So with that being said, I want to thank everyone for listening. And let me get on out of here. I know my wife keeps saying, I keep saying I'm about to go, and it's been 10, 15 more minutes. So wife, go ahead and take us home.
All right. I just want to just make a last comment about Brother Reed that's on the line. With everything that's going on, just listening to his testimony and the journey that he's been on in his life, that's a testament to our listeners. If you're listening, if you know somebody, people need support. Support somebody. If you know they're in a situation, be that light, be that person. If you can't do it physically, lead them into the right direction to get the support that they need. And there's nothing that you've done that God can't forgive you for. So just keep pushing and surrounding yourself with the right people. And thank you, Brother Reed, for being on the show on tonight. And many blessings to you and your family. All right, so I'm going to pray us out. God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for allowing us to come to this program on tonight. We thank you for the words that were said. We ask that you just continue to let your will be done. And Brother Reed's life, also continue to let your will be done on this journey through D&K Bible Break. Thank you for opening doors that need to be opened and shutting doors that need to be shut. We ask that you continue to look over the families that are going through right now who've lost loved ones, who's just going through situations, maybe not feeling well in their bodies. We know you are a true healer, and you are the only one that can give us comfort. So we honor you and we praise you. We count it all joy in the name of Jesus. Have a blessed week, everybody, and thank y'all for listening.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.